Abundance, hope, and liberty. Calvary.
Thank you. I sometimes envy people who have never heard these old familiar stories before. But the Lord can make those of us who have heard them many times can make it good news, brand new. This is a wonderful story. Picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Elisha represents. How God saves sinners that are brought to Him, believing Him and confessing Him. Naaman, it says in verse 1, was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's a great man before men. He was, says, an honorable man. That means he's a moral man. As far as men go, this man stood above the rest. He was a great man. He was a noble man, a moral man. He was a mighty man, it says. It says, by him, the Lord. You see, what do we have that we have not received? By the grace of God, that is, the gift of God, we are what we are. Scripture says, let not the mighty man boast in his might. No flesh, he said, should glory but in the Lord. This man was great because God made him that way. The Lord made him whom he was. Promotion cometh not from here or there, but cometh from the Lord. The Lord raised this man up, and he was moral before men. It says he was a mighty man, but look at verse 1. He was a mighty man in valor, victorious, conquering, but he was a leper. That means he's a dying man. No matter what he had accomplished, no matter how mighty he seemed to be, no matter how great he seemed to be to men, he had something in him that he was going to die from. Leprosy. Leprosy. Leprosy in those days was always fatal, always. There was no cure. It was a disease that started on the inside, like all diseases really. But it did not manifest itself, that is, it was not immediately revealed until it had progressed a long way. Started in the blood on the inside, and then it began to show up in little ways. A little scaly skin here, a little bit there. Places here and there that could be covered up by clothing. Naaman was a captain, and he wore a big uniform. All his uniform, helmet, and everything. So his leprosy was hidden to most people, not to God. Not to God. And this leprosy finally began to show up until it couldn't be covered up anymore. Leprosy. And it would literally corrupt the flesh until you just were just like Isaiah 1. Says this about man by nature. says from the sole of the feet to the top of the head, there's no soundness in us. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up or mollified with ointment. That's what God sees in all human beings by nature. Oh, no, we're not that bad. David, God said, I was conceived in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. He said, we're brought forth from the womb, speaking lies. The sin, or this leprosy represents sin. How that every man, every woman, every child is born dead in trespasses and sin. I didn't say that. John Calvin didn't say that. God said that. And the only hope for Naaman is our only hope, that God will do something for us. Do something for our children. And this leprosy called sin doesn't start showing up at first in our little children. But you tell me, do you teach them to lie? You've got to do everything you can to keep them from it. Why? Scripture says we're born that way. And unless God does something for them, this thing called sin, it will so corrupt us, we'll be so corrupted, like God said, no soundness in them. Corrupt before God. That's a picture. This thing of leprosy starts on the inside. And, you know, our little children are born. We think, you know, especially grandparents, when their grandchildren are born, they think, well, this child really is special. And eventually, it'll come out. You had one called Sophie that got that Stoniker blood in him, you know. Marvin comes out. No, that's me coming out. They say she looks like me, and I say she acts like me. But it doesn't matter. It's going to come out. But unless God Almighty, salvation's of the Lord, not an act of the human will. It's a miracle of God's grace. Unless God Almighty takes us and our children and washes us in the blood of the Lamb, we're going to die from our sin. Unless God Almighty quickens us by His grace, us and our children, we're going to die in our sin. And we can cover it up. And men, we do that. They wear the facade. They wear the garments of morality and you know, he's a good man. Yeah, the Scripture says it's none good. Not one. Doesn't it? That's what God said. God doesn't see as man see it. Man looks on the outward camp. He looks like a good fella. That's what the Pharisees looked like. And Christ said they're full of extortion. They're like whited sepulchres, he said. Salvation is of the Lord. He gets the glory. Who can help a man like Naaman? Only one. Well, there was this little maid in the providence of God. The Syrians had gone out and brought captive out of the land of Israel. Israel had been taken captive, and they brought a little maid in, and she worked for Naaman's wife. This young girl taken captive in God's sovereign purpose and providence. God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't it? Don't you know when she was taken captive, she thought, oh my, I've got to leave my home and family. Why is the Lord doing this? See, all things work together according to God's purpose, His saving purpose. For His glory and for His people. We're all instruments of His purpose and His will. God worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And none can stay His hand. And she thought, I don't want to work for this Egyptian. I don't want to work this job. It's a lowly, menial job. Difficult job. She felt like a slave. She was a slave. The Lord used her to save somebody. Huh? I wish we could think of our jobs like that. I wish I could. She said to Naaman's wife, verse 3, "Would God, my Lord," they called men that back then, small L-O-R-D, that means sir, mister. They were respectful. "Would God, if God were willing, that my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy." See, this young woman knew God, knew the God of Israel. Her language said so. She didn't say, if Naaman was willing and would accept God, he would, you know, if Naaman would just make Jesus Lord, oh no. God's people don't talk like that. She said, "Would God that he would put him where the prophet is." Not many. There's one. Where is it? One place, Samaria. "Would that God, if God is willing, Lord willing." That's the language of God's those that know God. That is God that worketh all things. They don't look into and they're not looking to and calling on men to do things for God. They're calling on God to do things for men. "Would God, if God is willing," he's able, "but this man won't be healed unless God is willing. And if God would put this man," my boss, "if she would put him where the prophet is." Didn't say one of many. In that day, there was one prophet. You say that's narrow. It's Bible. One. And he's in a particular place. He would be healed. Now, God uses, "Who hath despised a day of small things," the scripture said. God uses little, insignificant people, nothings and nobodies, to bring to naught things that are. You see your calling? 1 Corinthians 2. You see your calling, brethren? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble to call. But God hath chosen. God hath chosen the weak thing, the base thing, things that are nothing. I'm sure this little maid thought, "I'm a nothing and I'm a nobody. But I do know this. I know this much." She wasn't a preacher. Well, she's a witness. And all she said was, "If God is willing and put him under the prophet, he'll be healed." There's a young lady who grew up with me at 13th Street in Ashland years ago. Todd Nybert's sister, Susan, her married a young man named Emmerich, Susan Emmerich. And very outspoken, as you can imagine, being from the family of Nybert. But she, in God's purpose, had her marry this man who took her away from her church down to Florida to work a job. And she thought, "Why am I here?" And she went looking for some place to worship, and he found a place with this fellow named Greg Elmquist preaching. He was an Arminian. He didn't know the gospel. He didn't. He was a typical free will Arminian preacher. Didn't know God, didn't know the gospel, didn't know Christ. Winning soul. Not winning any soul. Didn't know God, didn't know the gospel. She went over there and talk to him about, I know somebody who will come down here and preach to you. My brother will come down here. If you let him come down here, he'll preach the gospel. And the story is a long one, but you know Greg, don't you? He's preached here many times. You know the people of that church, don't you? You know how that came about?
One little maid. More witness. God used her.
My. Well, it says in verse 4, one went in and told his Lord, went in and told Naaman. Somebody overheard this. Someone overheard this maid. And he went in to Naaman and said, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And so Naaman heard this, and he's going to go. I've told you the story of my father-in-law. He was talking to a fella about the gospel one time. He was talking to this fella about the gospel. And he's got, you remember him, don't you? Loud. You can't be in the same room, not hear him. He's just boisterous, you know. He was talking to the fella. And that fella didn't hear him, didn't believe anything he was saying. And he went on his way. Well, lo and behold, there was somebody else in the room. And that fella, was it 15 years later? 15 or 20 years later, showed up at 13th Street. And Ed saw him and said, well, Earl, what are you doing here? He said, I heard you talking to that fella that day. And it stuck with me for 20 years. God said, my word will not return void. From the preacher? My word will not return void. From a maiden? Oh my, you know, no flesh is going to glory. That's amazing. Somebody overheard her and went into Naaman. The king of Syria heard this too, and he said, go, I'll send a letter, verse 5, unto the king of Israel. Send a letter. You know, people send their letter to change churches. Couldn't help but think about that. I get requests from people who hate this and go somewhere else and send us her letter. I said, we don't have a letter. Letter? I'll send you a letter. She's free to go. But you know, letter? My. Do we need letters, Paul said, of commendation from you? No. Well, this fellow did, and he sent a letter, and he departed, verse 5, and he took with him, he sent with Naaman, 10 talents of silver. It's a lot of money. 6,000 pieces of gold. Back then, it's very heavy, and coins or whatever, and had to be put in chest. And 10 changes of raiment, clothing. All this had to be put on pack horses. Mac had several pack horses, you know, put all this on, and he's going to take and he's going to buy his cleansing with corruptible things, silver and gold. What he heard, this will do it. And we'll buy this cleansing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. He took it. And this is a picture of men and women, people in their ignorance, by the millions, who try to buy God Almighty's favor. People get in trouble, you know. That's mostly when they call on God, when they get in trouble, get sick, or somebody dies, or they lose something, and then they strike a bargain with God. Lord, I'll do this if you'll do that. I promise from here on out that I'll live this and that. That doesn't work. As soon as the trial, the storm is over, they go right back where they were. There's one thing that will send somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ for saving their soul. And that is they realize they're a dying leper. And there's one person that can get rid of it. And Peter said, you know, He wrote to the believers. He said, you know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. You know that Catholics all over still pay what they call indulgences. You think this was an old archaic practice? It's been around for thousands of years and it's still around. That they pay money. They pay money to the so-called church, to the priest and all that, to pray for their dead loved ones to get them out of this place they call purgatory. If they pay enough money, if you're rich enough, you can get them, you can spare them so many years of suffering until finally you can pay their way into heaven. People, I promise you, ask them. It still goes on. But even in Southern Baptists, I tithe. I've been tithing for years. I've been going to church all my life. I've never missed. I've got all these Sunday school. Like Naaman and all his armor. I've done this. I've done that. Surely God is pleased with you. Know you're not redeemed. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He has saved us. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold received from our vain conversation or life, received from tradition. No matter what men, who they are, tell us, nobody's redeemed but by one way, and that's by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get into heaven for one reason. Christ died for us. We're going to get the glory. We're going to be counted. We're going to be counted worthy of heaven, in favor with God. God is well pleased with us, not because of what we've done on this earth, but because what Jesus Christ did on this earth for us. He gets the glory. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, no. Let my soul be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Period. Let me be found in Him. Well, there He came. These 10 changes of raiment. You know, and people, this is kind of like people who bring their... Scripture says our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Isaiah 64 said. This whatever man works up, this religious facade, this covering, this robe that he thinks got everybody fooled. And it does have everybody but God. And you know what God calls it? Filthy rags. Look up what that really means. Look up what that really meant. Filthy rag. 10 changes. He thought, well, if one doesn't work, I'll try another one. I'll try another one. I'll try another one. People turn over a new leaf, don't they? Turn over a new leaf. The other side is just as bad. They won't do it. One robe alone will cover you. One raiment is without seam, without spot, and without blemish before God Almighty. It's very significant that they tried to rend that garment that was on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God wouldn't let them. Why? That's a picture of the righteousness that we must be clothed in and covered with before God Almighty. Well, He brought changes around. I'll change my way. That won't do it either. You'll go right back to something else. And you'll try this and you'll try that. Well, He came to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel ripped his clothes. The king of Israel ripped his clothes and said, why are you coming to me? Don't come to me. I can't. I'm not God. I can't save you. The king of Israel is a picture of every gospel preacher. He hath made us kings and priests. Royal priesthood. Scripture said. Not a priest that absolves sin, but you know what that meant. This king of Israel represents every gospel preacher who people come to them and they say, I can't save anybody. I'm no soul winner. I can't save myself. Don't come to me. Paul the Apostle said, I'm the chief of sinners. Paul was the chief apostle. Yet he said, I'm the chief of sinners. I need to be saved like anybody needs to be saved. And that's one way, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Don't come to me. I can't save you. Well, I'll tell you who can and who does. Someone overheard this. Verse 8. Elisha, the man of God, he heard the king of Israel rend his clothes. So he sent to the king and said, don't rend your clothes. Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me. And he'll know. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Let him come to me. Does this sound familiar? He sent word to the king who had ripped his clothes, who saw who is sufficient for these things. And he said, let him come now to me. Send him to me. You point him to me. Send him to me. And he'll know. He's going to know. There's a prophet. And I'm the one. Man of God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Said to his disciples, you couldn't cast them out, could you? Send him to me. He said of Bartimaeus, he's crying. Bartimaeus is crying. Bring him to me. Come unto me. Oh, you laborer and heavy laden. Don't come to the church. Don't come to the mourner's men. Don't come to the preacher. Don't come to the soul winner. Don't come to the confessional booth. Don't come to the priest. Christ said, come unto me. He is the only one that can do anything about him. Only one. And if a person does come, to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know why they come? Because Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Thy people shall be willing. See, he gets all the glory. All the glory. And everyone, he said, that seeth the Son and believeth in him, everyone that comes to Christ knows he's that prophet sent by God, that Redeemer, that salvation, that blood, that righteousness, the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the only priest, the only mediator, the only substitute, the only one God accepts, the only righteousness, the only one, prophet, priest, and king, the only one, way, truth, and life. Everyone that comes to Christ will know he's the one. There is no other. He saved me. Nobody else. They'll all know that. Anybody that says otherwise, I did this, I did that, preacher did this, I was saved under Billy Graham. Don't know the Lord. Don't know the Lord. No, sir. To him, give all the prophets witness, and to him, give all his people witness. To him, gets the glory. It's all about his glory. That's what salvation is all about. Well, old Elisha said to him, let him come to me. He'll know. And Naaman came, verse 9. Here he came with his horses. He had all these pack horses with him. And with his chariot. And he had the finest chariot money can buy. Mercedes-Benz chariot. He was a rich man. And he stood at the door of the house of Elijah. That is, he was on his high horse, what he was. He didn't get off his horse. He came riding up in his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And I'm quite certain that Elisha's house was nowhere near the house that Naaman lived in. No palatial mansion like Naaman lived in. Pretty common, ordinary house in a subdivision, perhaps. And Elisha, he came riding up with his entourage of people, you know, Naaman. All his medals on somebody. He's a leper. He's a nobody. But he thinks he's somebody. He's a leper. My pastor once said, there are many men who they're all lepers, but they think they're great men. They think they're great men. God makes many men just appear to be great men, but they're all lepers before God. Here he came, riding up to this house with his horses and his chariot, stood at the door of the house of this Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha saw him coming. Heard him coming. Probably blew a trumpet before. Here we come. Here he comes. Who? Who's coming to your church? Elisha. Naaman. Naaman's coming. Oh, Mr. Elisha, you know who's going to come today? Naaman. Whoa, we can use his money there. We can build a family life center. What do we need that for? Oh, but we can use his money. We don't want his money. He doesn't have anything we need. We got what he needs. Oh, but what? God doesn't need anybody. And I told myself, what are going to happen? He'd say to his servant, we don't need that man. He's not going to grace our house. Maybe God will be gracious and let him come in here and worship with us. Maybe God will show great favor to him. He's not favoring God by coming. God's favoring him by bringing him. We're not going to acknowledge him and say, oh, we're so glad to have you. Church can't be church without you. No, sir. We're not going to bring God down like that. We're not going to elevate man, bring God down. We're going to elevate God, bring man down. Everybody comes here, going to have to come down. This salvation for the meek and the lowly. To this man will I look. He that's poor and a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. This needs to be shouted from the rooftop, doesn't it? Huh? Everybody needs to hear this. People think they're doing God a favor by coming. If we're brought to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're brought to the place where the true gospel is preached, it'll be the highest favor of God Almighty to bring us to here. Even though it's at the house of a poor little prophet that nobody gives a flip for. That's right. Who's he? Nobody in Egypt cares for his message. Now, he doesn't think he's anything either, but God said he gave him the message. Elisha sent his little servant out there. I don't know who this little servant was, but he sent him with one message. Look at it. Verse 10. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And he left and went back in the house. Here's Naaman and all these, you know, up riding, standing there with his hands folded like this, waiting on Elisha to come bowing and scraping to him. So glad to see you. And here's this little servant come out and say, go. There's a muddy river down here called Jordan, muddy river. Get off your high horse. Take all those medals off. Take all that covering off. Get naked. Get down off your high horse. Down even further than that, down in the old muddy water, and keep going down, and keep going down, and keep going down 7 times until you don't come up, until you're clean. And he left. You know the message hadn't changed? It hadn't changed. Well, Naaman didn't like it, did he? Verse 11. Naaman was wroth. He was angry. Who does he think he is? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ sent his lowly servants out, apostles, off scouring of the earth. Nobody, they didn't have any credential, didn't have any education. The Pharisees and the Sadducees all despised. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Where do you come off telling us what to do? We're just messengers. And they were sent with a message by Christ. You go tell men, come down. But there's one way to do that. Go tell. Preach the gospel to them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that worketh, he that believeth. You go tell them that. And it says Naaman was angry and he went away. I'm not going to hear that. I don't like that. And he said, look at verse 11. This is what everybody says. My nature, I thought. Old black preacher preached a message one time entitled, "It Ain't Like You Thought It Was." Psalm 50 says, "Thou thoughtest." God said, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove you. I'm not a man. I'm not like man. I thought." Here's what I thought, Naaman thought. This is what all men think. "I thought he will come out to me." Well, he'll be glad to see me. He'll come to me. And he'll stand. He'll stand before me in honor of me. And he'll call on the name of the Lord his God. No, you're going to have to call on him, Naaman. He'll call and he'll strike his hand, wave his hand to some elaborate ceremony, you know. Now, I don't have to take all my medals off. I don't have to get humiliated in front of people. I don't want to be embarrassed. No. He'll come out and he'll tell me how glad he is to see me and what a good man I am. And I can keep my medals on and they can use me. And he'll wave his hand over it and everybody, and we'll go home and everything will be all right. And I'll continue on just like I've always done. No, sir. Got to be a change. Got to be a change. And he said in verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, aren't they better than all the waters of Israel?" Isn't not First Baptist Free Will Pharpar Baptist Church, isn't that a better place than this little two-bit place? Huh? And, you know, Abana Methodist, look at it. Look at what all is going on there. Can't be all those people there and God not being there. Can there? Ask Noah. Look at, isn't this a better place? Surely God's in that. Look how great it is. It's beautiful. Look what all's going on. Wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble. One way. Come down. One old muddy river. Of all places. And you know that river was so significant. It ran the length of the whole nation of Israel, so that there's not one person in all Israel is not confronted by that old muddy River Jordan. You read the story about the River Jordan. They were constantly having to go across it. Joshua, chapter 3 and chapter 4, all the way through, Joshua, back and forth across that river. Oh, it's significant. The blood of Jesus Christ runs through this from cover to cover. And there's not a human being on the face of God's earth that hadn't heard about it. That's not confronted with it. And yet men think, do this or do that. And you can build this and build that and cover it up and do this and do that, but none of that will avail for anything. None of that proves that God's in it. None of that. There's one thing that proves where God is, where God's prophet is, where salvation is. If a man stands up every time and starts proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. John, the prophet, was baptizing in the Jordan. And said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. The blood." He'll know. So Naaman came. He came. His horses, his chariots. Elisha sent out this messenger and said to him, "You go wash in that muddy river Jordan." And he said, "I'm not going to do it." And he left in a rage. And one of his servants said to him, "Sir, you're still a leper. You're still a leper. You reveal it by your anger against the prophet of God. You hate God's way." That's what old Brother Scott used to be so plain, Brother Henry, and he'd tell men like it is. "Oh, he's a nice fellow. He just hates God." I don't hate God. Men don't hate their conception of God. I hate the God of the Bible. Naaman, sir, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, if he'd have told you to scale some high mountain, if he'd have told you to go out and do some great victory for him, you'd have done it. He just told you to do one thing. One thing. Wash. And you'll be clean. Our Lord sent the preachers out with a message. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go out there and declare me. Just declare, just preach. Stand up. Can these bones live? Lord knows. You just declare who God is, who Christ is. Just keep preaching Christ crucified. Keep preaching Christ crucified. Keep preaching Christ crucified. I'll bring my people in. I'll bring my sheep in. I'll bring lepers in. Everyone that has need of healing, they'll be healed. And they'll confess me. And I'll wash away their sin. Ah, boy. So if you and I hear from the Lord, it'll be through a servant, an ordinary man, who will first tell us, come down, bow, get naked, take off your righteousness, throw it like Bartimaeus, cast that filthy covering away, what you've done, who you are, throw it away, come naked before God, wash in the blood of the Lamb, not once, not twice, you keep coming. Until you realize, until you sing, boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only, never have been, never will be anything, but a sinner saved by grace. You keep coming down until the Lord reveals to you His grace. Well, Naaman said, okay. In verse 14, he went down. He went, took it all off in front of everybody. I love the we don't make baptism some elaborate ceremony. It's just a plain, ordinary ceremony. Just plain, ordinary thing. Where somebody gets up there, and then we take them, and death. We cover up death, don't we? We embalm the Egyptians. Started that. We embalm them, make them look like they're not dead. That's a picture of religion. Where are we religion? Let's make them look like they're not dead, and cover them up so they don't smell it. And let's make this all so, just gloss it over. It's death. When Christ was crucified, it was horrible. And they had to lay the bodies in the ground quickly before they started stinking. They're dead. In baptism, we take somebody up there, particularly you ladies. You wear makeup. You look good with all that makeup on. And fine clothing and all that. And you take a person like that, take them up there, and buddy, it's all coming off. Before everybody. You're going to come up looking like a wet rat. The hair that you glory in, the face, the facade, the clothes, it's all like a wet rat. Before everybody. You've been humiliated. No, you've come down. You've been brought down. For Christ's sake. We've got to come down and come up. Right? If he's going to be exalted, we've got to be abased. He that abases himself, the Lord will be exalted. Naaman got down, and he went down. Can't you see this? And he took all his medals off. Oh, man, I won that in Syria. Oh, man. But I got this for meritorious service. Throw it away, Naaman. His helmet. Oh, this is my safety. Get rid of it. Took it off till he's standing naked in front of everybody. And he gets down in that old muddy river. I don't see how this is going to do any good. Now everybody sees his leprosy. And he gets down. I don't see how this could, you know, just believing. Yes, sir. So he got down. He came back up and said, it's not gone. Keep going, sir. He got down. Came back up. He's still not gone. I don't feel a thing. Get down. 5 times. 6 times. So I bet you the 7th time, he could only come up on one knee. Clean. He's broken. He's totally broken. And he comes up clean as a baby. Not one spot on him. A baby. Didn't our Lord say, except you be converted and become as little children? And I see people come in all the time, you know. I know something. I'm somebody. You know who I am. And yeah, I know who you are. You're a leper. But what? I mean, we're all lepers, and we all got to come down. I'm a nobody. You're a nobody. There's one somebody. And everybody's got to come down. Believe on Him. But I don't... Throw it away. Throw it away. Cast it aside. Your decision, your this, your that, your works, your morality, throw it away. Just throw it away. And come to Christ. And you keep coming. Well, I don't feel anything yet. You keep listening. Keep bowing. Keep calling. And one of these days, in His good time, you'll be clean. That's the only thing that matters, isn't it? That's the only thing that matters for Naaman from then on? Huh? Now his leprosy's gone. And what did he say? He said, I now know. Now I know. There's one God. And there's one prophet. That's the message. That's what all men need. I'm not going to sacrifice to these false lords anymore, these false gods anymore. I'm not going to do it. There's one God, one gospel, one way, one truth, one prophet. There's one. I know that now. I know that now. And he wanted to give it all to that preacher, Elisha. He wanted to give it all back. Before he's bribing him, now out of love and gratitude, he thought, I don't need this stuff. Please take this. No. Don't need it. Didn't need it before you came. Don't need it now. Don't need it now. But you've got now what you need. Well, I tried. That's it. Bye-bye.